Chapter 3 Despair's downtown area began with a vacant lot where something had been planned maybe 20 years before, but never built. Then came an old motor court, shuttered, maybe permanently abandoned. Across the street and 50 yards west was a gas station. Two pumps, both of them old. Not the kind of upright rural antiques Reacher had seen in Edward Hopper's paintings, but still a couple of generations off the pace. There was a small hut in back with a grimy window full of quarts of oil arrayed in a pyramid. Reacher crossed the apron and stuck his head in the door. It was dark inside the hut, and the air smelled of creosote and hot raw wood. There was a guy behind a counter in worn blue overalls stained black with dirt. He was about 30 and lean.
"Got coffee?" Reacher asked him.
"This is a gas station," the guy said.
"Gas stations sell coffee," Reacher said, "and water, and soda."
"Not this one," the guy said. "We sell gas."
"And oil."
"If you want it."
"Is there a coffee shop in town?"
"There's a restaurant."
"Just one?"
"One is all we need."
Reacher ducked back out to the daylight and kept on walking. 100 yards farther west, the road grew sidewalks, and according to a sign on a pole, changed its name to Main Street. 30 feet later came the first developed block. It was occupied by a Dewar brick cube, 3 stories high, on the left side of the street, to the south. It might once have been a dry goods emporium. It was still some kind of a retail enterprise. Reacher could see 3 customers and bolts of cloth and plastic household items through its dusty ground-floor windows. Next to it was an identical 3-story brick cube, and then another, and another. The downtown area seemed to be about 12 blocks square, bulked mostly to the south of Main Street. Reacher was no kind of an architectural expert, and he knew he was way west of the Mississippi, but the whole place gave him the feel of an old Connecticut factory town, or the Cincinnati riverfront. It was plain and severe and unadorned and out of date. He had seen movies about small-town America in which the sets had been artfully dressed to look a little more perfect and vibrant than reality. This place was the exact opposite. It looked like a designer and a whole team of grips had worked hard to make it dowdier and gloomier than it needed to be. Traffic on the streets was light. Sedans and pickup trucks were moving, slow and lazy. None of them was newer than 3 years old. There were few pedestrians on the sidewalks. Reacher made a random left turn and set about finding the promised restaurant. He quartered 12 blocks and passed a grocery store and a barber shop and a bar and a rooming house and a faded old hotel before he found the eatery. It took up the whole ground floor of another dull brick cube. The ceiling was high, and the windows were floor-to-ceiling plate glass items filling most of the walls. The place might have been an automobile showroom in the past. The floor was tiled, and the tables and chairs were plain brown wood, and the air smelled of boiled vegetables. There was a register station inside the door, with a "Please Wait to Be Seated" sign on a short brassed pole with a heavy base. Same sign he had seen everywhere, coast to coast. Same script, same colors, same shape. He figured there was a catering supply company, somewhere, turning them out by the millions. He had seen identical signs in Calais, Maine, and expected to see more in San Diego, California. He stood next to the register and waited. And waited. There were 11 customers eating. 3 couples, a threesome and 2 singletons. 1 waitress. No front of house staff. Nobody at the register. Not an unusual ratio. Reacher had eaten in 1,000 similar places, and he knew the rhythm subliminally. The lone waitress would soon glance over at him and nod, as if to say, "I'll be right with you." Then she would take an order, deliver a plate, and scoot over, maybe blowing an errant strand of hair off her cheek in a gesture designed to be both an apology and an appeal for sympathy. She would collect a menu from a stack and lead him to a table and bustle away and then revisit him in strict sequence. But she didn't do any of that. She glanced over, didn't nod, just looked at him for a long second and then looked away, carried on with what she was doing, which by that point wasn't much. She had all her 11 customers pacified. She was just making work. She was stopping by tables and asking if everything was all right, and refilling coffee cups that were less than an inch down from the rim. Reacher turned and checked the door glass to see if he had missed an opening hours sign to see if the place was about to close up. It wasn't. He checked his reflection to see if he was committing a social outrage with the way he was dressed. He wasn't. He was wearing dark gray pants and a matching dark gray shirt, both bought 2 days before in a janitorial surplus store in Kansas. Janitorial supply stores were his latest discovery. Plain, strong, well-made clothing at reasonable prices. Perfect. His hair was short and tidy. He had shaved the previous morning. His fly was zipped. He turned back to wait. Customers turned to look at him, one after the other. They appraised him quite openly and then looked away. The waitress made another slow circuit of the room, looking everywhere except at him. He stood still, running the situation through a mental database and trying to understand it. Then he lost patience with it and stepped past the sign and moved into the room and sat down alone at a table for four. He scraped his chair in and made himself comfortable. The waitress watched him do it, and then she headed for the kitchen. She didn't come out again. Reacher sat and waited. The room was silent. No talking. No sounds at all, except for the quiet, metallic clash of silverware on plates and the smack of people chewing, and the ceramic click of cups being lowered carefully into saucers and the wooden creak of chair legs under shifting bodies. Those tiny noises rose up and echoed around the vast tiled space until they seemed overwhelmingly loud. Nothing happened for close to 10 minutes. Then an old crew cab pickup truck slid to a stop on the curb outside the door. There was a second's pause, and four guys climbed out and stood together on the sidewalk outside the restaurant's door. They grouped themselves into a tight little formation and paused another beat and came inside. They paused again and scanned the room and found their target. They headed straight for Reacher's table. Three of them sat down in the empty chairs, and the fourth stood at the head of the table, blocking Reacher's exit.